So what do you do when you're losing? You're losing badly. Your approval rating hits an all-time new low. And you're the president of the United States of America. You go back to the drawing board, folks, with what worked in the past. What did work in the past? You divide the nation based on the issue of race. And you go back and bring up one of the most polarizing figures in American political history. You bring up the name of Donald Trump, the guy that you beat last time, the guy that you made people hate. You try to solidify your base by saying, at least I'm not that guy. At least I'm not him. And remember, you voted for me. Even though you don't like me right now, you voted for me. And when you voted for me, it was because you hated that. Now, that's the guy that gave you mean tweets. That's the guy that gave you low gas prices and mean tweets. That's the guy that had unemployment at all-time historic lows. But he gave you mean tweets, and he's a racist. And anybody that supports him is also a racist. That's what you go back to. You also go back to fear-mongering. You fear-monger people, and you get the people around you that everybody is supposed to trust, right? Everybody is supposed to trust, who are the doctors, the experts, to tell you that everybody's going to die if you don't do what we tell you to do, if you don't do what we demand that you do, if you don't listen to us. Which brings us up to the big lie over the weekend. And even now, in a new low, a new, I would argue, disgusting low, that lie has gotten much bigger. That lie has gotten so big that the Supreme Court justices are now getting in on it. Supreme Court Justice Sotomayor, in oral arguments over the issue of COVID-19 vaccines, which now people who help make those vaccines have declared in the past week, it is unrealistic to keep living this way. It is unrealistic to think or even to imply that we can vaccinate our way out of this problem with COVID-19. In fact, it's unrealistic to think that you could ever vaccinate the entire world every 4 to 6 months. They've also said that it's time to just be really, really honest and let people know that we have to stop living in a perpetual state of fear. Now, when you hear that and you're the left, you're freaking out right now because you have an all-time low approval rating. You have congressmen and congresswomen that are Democrats that aren't even trying to run for re-election. They're just saying, I'm out. I'm not going to run for re-election. And the reason why they're saying is because they know they're going to lose and they're going to lose badly. So you go back to what worked. You go back to what worked and you do it a way that you hope people will remember that there's evil people out there like Donald Trump and supporters, and we have to stick together. We have to stay together. So don't lose focus and don't lose faith. Stick with us. We need you to stick with us. Stick with us at all costs. Stand with us. We need you. Sotomayor came up with the first big part of this plan. And Sotomayor is now being called out. The fact checkers are not calling out. The media is not reporting how ridiculous it is. And even the CDC director, Lewinsky, is not condemning what Sotomayor said. The big lie, and this is probably one of the biggest lies when it comes to COVID, and one of the biggest lies that's been told about your children. Now, the left needs you to be fearful because when you're fearful, you become sheep. When you're fearful, they can grab power. When you're fearful, they can also distract you. That is, in fact, their ultimate goal. So if they can fearmonger you into getting your kid vaccinated, that's a good day for them. And that is why this absurd stat has been circling around. The stat is that there's more than 100,000 children that are in the hospital fighting for their lives with COVID-19. And that number is supposed to make you immediately say, okay, I'm going to go get my kid vaccinated. And certainly I'm going to do my part and get vaccinated as well. That is exactly why they're saying it. Now, they need you to believe this. So Sotomayor, who is a Supreme Court justice, put the lie out there in the oral arguments as well. Someone fed it to her, or she's in on it, or she's incredibly stupid and doesn't do research. You get to decide. What I do know is this is hardcore propaganda. That's what it is. Take a listen.
You know, you just heard about the U.S. Supreme Court currently deciding the fate of the president's vaccine mandates. In the questioning, Justice Sonia Sotomayor made this statement.
We have over 100,000 children, which we've never had before, in serious condition, and many on ventilators.
Now, we can find from Friday suggests there are fewer than 3,500 current pediatric hospitalizations from COVID-19. Is that true?
Yeah, but, you know, here's what I can tell you about our pediatric hospitalizations now. First of all, the vast majority of children who are in the hospital are unvaccinated. And for those children who are not eligible for vaccination, we do know that they are most likely to get sick with COVID if their family members aren't vaccinated. So the most important thing we can do for those children to keep them out of the hospital is to vaccinate them and to vaccinate their family members around them.
Understood. But the number is not 100,000. It's roughly 3,500. In hospitals now.
And that is immediately when she should have said, you're absolutely right. And not only are you right, but we're very happy and thankful the number is, in fact, where it is. And we want people to understand that number. And we need accurate information, accurate data to be given out there. We do not need to have the numbers misrepresented in this way. So let me clear the record for you. Let me clear it for the American people. No, there's not 100,000 kids dying in hospitals right now. That's not happening. Do we have 3,000? Do we wish that number was zero? Of course, but that's also not realistic either. All right, that's not realistic, and we know that. That's not what she did, and that's not what she said, and there's a reason why. Because she needs you to be fearful. She needs you to be afraid. She needs you to think that you need the government and the CDC and the NIH. She needs you to believe that you need Fauci and you need Joe Biden. That is what she needs you to believe. That's exactly what she needs you to believe. Now, I say all that because there's a second part of this plan. We'll get back to the CDC in a moment. But there's another plan that's happening, and that's this new Joe Biden plan. I'm going to tell you about this Joe Biden plan and a speech that he has planned for Tuesday, where he is going to try to divide the country on purpose on the issue of race. Why? Because that also goes back to their playbook. If you can make everybody hate one another, I can solidify my base. Let's talk about Joe Biden's plan. Plan is a simple one. Can't give Joe Biden a complicated plan, folks. He couldn't sell it to the American people. But if there's anything that Joe Biden can sell you on, it's an angry speech. That he's really good at. He can tell you that you can be angry too with him and that other people are evil, which is exactly what he did during the presidential race when he was running against Donald Trump. He said that that side, that Donald Trump and anyone that supports Donald Trump is what? A racist, a bigot. Anti-LGBTQ. The list went on and on and on and on and on. That's what he did. That's all he did, actually. That and COVID, fear-mongering. So you got to go back to it because it works. We now have been told that Joe Biden is planning a, quote, dramatic speech on voting rights in Georgia on Tuesday. He's going to focus on claiming that the newly passed election integrity law in the state is nothing more than KKK law. The president is expected to use the issue of voting rights to call for reform as well for the Senate and the filibuster rule in Washington. so that he can ram the Build Back Better plan down our throats. Because if you can take a couple $1 trillion and start handing it out to people, he believes there's at least 50 plus 1% of Americans that will vote for him because of all the money he would give out. Now, we're doubling down. It's part of what the White House is saying. We're kicking it into another gear, they're saying. We're going to the belly of the beast, they're saying. We're going to ground zero, they say. We're going to fight voter suppression, voter subversion, and obstruction. That's what the White House Director of Office of Public Engagement, Cedric Richmond, said to Politico. They said the tone of Biden's speech will be a familiar one. In fact, it will be similar to a speech that condemned January the 6th protests on the morning of January 6th at the memorial service, the moment of silence, the whatever the hell you want to call that propaganda, where they claim that January the 6th from a year ago was the exact same thing as 9/11 and Pearl Harbor and Bloody Sunday. And they like that anger and that self-righteous anger. Democrats love it when you tell Democrats they're better than other people. And if you get angry with them, that means you're a good person. It's that same anger that he used against Donald Trump, and it worked. And when you're sliding in the polls the way that he is sliding in the polls, you need something. You need anything to get kick it back into gear. Now, I can't believe they're doing this, but they are. Actually, I take it back. I can believe they're doing this because this is the only thing they've got left to do. And the only thing they have left to do is to fearmonger. And they're bringing back Donald Trump. Donald Trump isn't fighting with them right now. They're bringing back Donald Trump because Donald Trump is the worst person in the world if you listen to Democrats. That's why they're bringing him back. And so they're going to attack Donald Trump. They're also doing this because they believe that they can run against Donald Trump in the midterms. That will be their best chance of not having a total bloodbath in Congress. So we're being told that Joe Biden will focus his anger on the former president, Trump, and then Republicans. They say that Joe Biden will come out and angrily condemn the election law reforms passed by the Klansmen Republicans in Georgia and signed into law by the Klansmen Governor Brian Kemp in March as racist. And just one more example of how dangerous former President Trump is to, quote, democracy. Now, this is how desperate they are. This was signed by Governor Brian Kemp back in March. Okay, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December, January. 10 months it's been since this was signed into law. And you're just now deciding to go to Georgia to fight against it? Come on, man. To quote Joe Biden, if this is so bad, why did it take you 10 months to do it? Say it again. Come on, man. Really? It is not about them being afraid. It's not about them being scared of this bill. It's this is all they've got left. You got to tell people they're going to die if you don't do what they tell you to do. And that's how they get some, right? That's how they really, really, really get somewhere. That's number one. Okay. You got to do that. You got to tell people the other side's racist and bigots, and you got to bring back Donald Trump. In fact, Democrats, the ones who said they hated Donald Trump the most, are the ones talking about Donald Trump the most. Donald Trump is no longer the president of the United States of America, but they need Donald Trump. Look at what's happened to CNN, for example. Their ratings are down like 70%. They're getting their brains kicked in. And the ratings right now at CNN, no one's watching because there's no boogeyman. There's no more Trump, so let's bring him back. It worked before. We can't run on the economy. We can't run on the issue of inflation. We can't run on the issue of incompetency. So we're literally going to run reruns. What was the last thing we said that worked? Donald Trump's evil. He's a racist. The supporters are racist. And then we'll also tell people they should still be afraid of the world when it comes to COVID. And that's what we're going to do. And that's exactly their game plan before the midterms. And we're going to wait 10 months to go down to Georgia and condemn what happened there 10 months ago. Now, the reforms passed in Georgia, just so you know what actually happened there included voter ID requirements, the same IDs that Democrats are mandating for you to pretty much do anything, right? Vaccine card. That's an ID, isn't it? It's proof of vaccination. You got to show that you really did get vaccinated before they'll let you do anything. I mean, if they want you to have proof of vaccine to enter every freaking building in America, then why are they against showing a ID to vote? It also, the Georgia bill, restricted the number of drop boxes. Why? Because they want to make sure there's not fraud. And block officials from sending absentee ballot applications to all voters. Why? Because why would you send out a bunch of ballots to people that don't even intend on voting? Who you don't know if they even live there anymore. Who have no interest in voting. Why would you send those out to everybody? Carpet bombing liberal districts. You do it because you're hoping somebody that lives there will fill it out and send it back. Democrats have raged against these new rules and their activism, right? It even resulted in Major League Baseball canceling the All-Star game in Atlanta. The boycott cost the city an estimated $100 million and primarily hurt minority-owned businesses. So 10 months goes by, and now you go back to the greatest hits. What happens when you're a new band and you put out a crappy album? You play the hits while you're on tour trying to sell the crappy album. And that is exactly what Joe Biden is doing. He's got a crappy album, and he's like, well, maybe they'll like me again if I remind them of how awesome I was a year ago. The band sucks, so play that hit from 20 years ago. This is what all Democratic candidates are going to do, by the way. All of them suck right now. Their policies suck. The economy sucks. Inflation sucks. Their ideas suck. So what do you go back to? You play your hits. You play your greatest hits. You put out an album that is filled with everybody else is a racist. You put out an album that is filled with virtue signaling that we're better than they are. That you're a better human than they are. And that is exactly what Joe Biden's about to do. Because if there's anything that Joe Biden can still do, and I don't believe there's much left that he can really do. I think the cognitive decline of Biden is very clear. But the one thing he can do is get angry. So let's take him to Georgia. 10 months late. Let's manufacture a crisis 10 months late. Let's manufacture a crisis 10 months late. And see what happens. I want to get back to a bigger issue just for a moment, and that is the issue of fear. Does fear sell? And is that why Democrats are coming out with this Georgia big speech of anger and fear? Yes, it does. Fear works. They've taken away how many rights? Infringed on how many of our rights over the last 2 years solely based on the issue of fear, not based on science, not based on data. Time magazine, 2003, on the cover had a picture of a child with a mask on. It says the truth about SARS. 2004, Time magazine had on the cover a fear-mongering article about the bird flu. 2005, on the cover of Time magazine, death threat. Avian flu with a chicken. 2009, why you'll be wearing masks again. 2009 again, because it worked really well, the H1N1 hysteria, how bad will it get? 2014 on the cover, chasing Ebola. Corona, another one with Corona. The vaccine revolution, another one on the cover of Time magazine. The Zika virus back in 16. All covers of Time magazine. Now, why do they put things on the cover of Time magazine like that? They put it on there for one reason. Because it works. That's why. They put it on there because it works. Fear sells. Fear sells big time in this country. And Joe Biden realizes that the only thing, and Democrats are better at this than Republicans, you just need 50 plus 1% of the American people to be fearful of something, and you tell them you'll fix it, and you win every election nationwide. You only need 50 plus 1, folks. That's it. So it worked last time, so why not do it again this time? Remember, Sotomayor, she wants more liberals on the Supreme Court. I don't believe Sotomayor is stupid enough to get it that wrong. I think she actually wanted you to believe and thought she would go all in because she can't lose her job over this, right? Saying that there's 100,000 children that are being hospitalized right now to get you to do what she wants you to do, which is to vaccinate your kid, because they do hate the unvaccinated. The left hates the unvaccinated. It's not just in this country. It's worldwide right now. Look at what's happening with Novak Djokovic, who's probably going to lose the ability to go to Australia for 3 years, all because he thought he had a medical exemption coming into the country since he got COVID in December. And the Australian Tennis Federation said yes. And the country said no. And people in Australia don't want him there. Okay? They don't want him there because he didn't get the vaccine. One of the headlines from this is the Novak saga has turned the spotlight on deep divisions in Australian society. They don't want the evil unvaccinated there. There was another headline. Novak Djokovic and fellow star vaccine skeptics are increasingly scorned. This was from the New York Times on Sunday. The tennis star is the latest of a public outcry against vaccine skeptics and stars wanting special treatment. Denied entry to Australia, he awaits a hearing Monday on his deportation. In a less dangerous time, a more forgiving public viewed Novak Djokovic's non-traditional views of science and health as the quirky characteristics of a hyperactive seeker with strongly held beliefs about everything from sports to spirituality. He has sat inside a pressurized egg-shaped pod during major tournaments, believed it would improve circulation, boost his red blood cell production, and rid his muscles of lactic acid. He supported the concept that prayer and faith could purify toxic water. Djokovic and other high-profile athletes with unorthodox approaches to health were a source of bemusement for a public that, for better or for worse, has long treated them as role models. These quirks are seemingly harmless as a bowl of quarterback Tom Brady's avocado ice cream. Not anymore. Djokovic, an outspoken skeptic of vaccines, will spend the weekend detained in a hotel room in Melbourne, Australia, awaiting a legal appeal and expected hearing on Monday in hopes of gaining entry to the country following a public and political outcry over the medical exemption he received to play in the Australian Open without being vaccinated. Now, he did get COVID in December, but hey, everybody shouldn't look at that in natural immunity. No, because we want to force you into submission. The Australian Border Force rejected his paperwork and supported the exemption. That exemption on Wednesday. The pitched battle over what was supposed to be his quest for a record 10th Australian Open Men's Single Championship has highlighted a new dynamic for stars like Djokovic. The latest surge of coronavirus cases and the ongoing struggle to exit the pandemic have shifted public perceptions. Athletes once viewed favorably as iconic are now encouraging pushback when they want to play by different rules than everyone else. Quote, the general public continues to respond positively if an athlete is speaking out on topics that make a difference in society and make people's lives better, said Michael Lynch, the former director of sports marketing for Visa and a longtime consultant to the sports industry. But if someone takes a position that puts people's lives at risk, then they are going to have a very negative reaction. You see what the media is doing here, right? This is called fame shaming somebody. You don't conform to what we tell you to conform to, and we're going to take it all away from you, the famous person. We're going to mock you. We're going to ridicule you. We're going to go after your sponsors. We're going to say that you're anti-science. We're going to say that you're trying to kill people. We're going to say that you're stupid. We're going to say that you're dumb. We're the ones that built you up and made you who you are, and now you're not doing what we're telling you to do, so now we are going to rip you down, and we are going to tear you down. back to the New York Times, condescending, egotistical tool bags that wrote this article. They said the fame that comes with athletic success has provided Djokovic and other top athletes who oppose the coronavirus vaccines, like the NFL quarterback Aaron Rodgers and the star basketball player Kyrie Irving, with platforms to promote causes they believe in and to collect millions of dollars to promote products. That's their shout across the bow to all other athletes, right? We make you who you are. We make you powerful. We are kingmakers in the media, and if you don't play by our rules, we will rip down and blow up your house. We will go nuclear on you. But in recent months, they say their high profiles have become a liability. Wait, did they really become a liability, or is it just because you claim that they're a liability? This is part of the torching of anyone that doesn't comply. Their high profiles have become a liability as their behavior and their views supported misinformation. Oh, they're fact checkers now again. And put public safety at risk. So now any athlete that doesn't get vaccinated is public enemy number one. Why? Because the media says so. For sports organizations and leagues, the stakes are high. For more than a decade, access to social media has given sports stars the ability to become more outspoken and impactful than ever. As long as what they say has not been offensive or polarizing, they provide free, mostly positive publicity for their sports, their causes, and their own brands. Well, hold on, that's not true, because any athlete that wanted to get all woke was Black Lives Matter supporting, right? Even while they're riding in cities, and you guys weren't condemning them for that. Oh, because you guys virtue signal and you believed in that, so that one was okay. Got it. All right, again, back to the media. New York Times says the vaccination issue has changed the equation for sports, whose return in 2020 was viewed positively when they modeled safe behavior, such as mask wearing. Oh, so now you get to decide what's safe behavior and not safe behavior. Got it. Playing before sparse crowds or none at all and participating in regular testing. The behavior and the outspokenness of Djokovic, Rodgers, Irving, and others against vaccines has jeopardized that goodwill. And organizations are now tightening their rules to play defense. The NCAA said on Thursday that in many instances it would not consider players or coaches fully vaccinated unless they have received a booster shot. There it is. I told you it was coming. If you didn't believe me, go back and listen to my podcast, which have been talking exactly about this. The New York Times goes on to say, although the guidance is not binding on schools and conferences, it is influential, especially with the NCAA Division I basketball tournament scheduled to begin in March. So what they're saying is, hey, basketball players, you better get boosted, and if you don't, you ain't playing. Is this based in science? No. I'm not a big Djokovic fan. I played tennis in college. Okay, want to make that clear. I'm not a big Djokovic fan. But to make him into public enemy number one because he decided not to get a vaccine because he believes he has antibodies based on science, based on the fact that he got COVID in December, and I think this is the second time he's had COVID. That's his choice. I don't believe in publicly shaming, and I don't believe you should kick somebody out of a country for 3 years because they decide not to do something that you believe that should be mandated. This is pure evil. And treating people this way is not going to get more people to get vaccinated. Treating Djokovic this way, Kyrie Irving this way, and others, Aaron Rodgers this way, I'm telling you right now, is not going to get more people vaccinated. These people are sick and they're evil and they're doing it to divide this country. And the scary part is it may work again. That's why Joe Biden's doing it. Lastly, I'll say it again to everybody listening. Please make sure you hit that auto download or subscribe button wherever you're listening to this podcast right now. Please help us fight back and write us a 5-star review as liberals are attacking our podcast with bad reviews on purpose, trying to hurt the reach of this podcast. And please share this on social media. I will see you back here tomorrow.